Today we're going to talk about God's threefold cord. We started this last week, and we talked about the fact that that threefold cord is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at the Father's part in the threefold cord. This week we're going to move to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start together by reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 through 14. So if you'll stand for just a few seconds, we'll honor the Lord as we read His Word. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and to be blameless in His sight in love. He predestined us for adoption to the sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us and the one that He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him we also have been chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Father, help us to be today to the praise of Your glory. Help us, Lord, to learn that both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost have a part in our redemption, have a part in our sanctification, and have a part in keeping us saved. Father, we'll give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last time, we looked at the Father and His work, and I just want to read real quickly, just as a kind of a review, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. And we talked a little bit last week about what that meant, to be chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And we said some people have a view that God chose who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved before He ever created the world. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that it kind of opposes some other scriptures that indicate that God's not willing that any should perish, but everyone should come to the truth. God's purpose was in Christ. And so in Christ, you are predestined. But if you're not in Christ, you still have hope of getting into Christ. You're not sealed in your unbelief. I don't believe that. Calvinists believe that. If you are unsaved today and God hasn't chosen you, there's nothing you can do. And in one sense, that's true. Because if God doesn't open your eyes and your heart and your understanding, you'll never get it. But I believe God does that for everybody. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish. So I don't consign people to hell because they haven't yet trusted Christ, and so they're sealed. I think there's always hope. There's always hope that one that you love might yet get saved. We started last week talking a little bit about the Son in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. It says, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will. We are sons and daughters of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way that you can become a son or daughter of God. You can't become a son or daughter of God by getting baptized. You can't become a son or daughter of God by keeping sacraments of a church or joining a church or giving money to a church. Only through the blood of Christ can you become a son or daughter of God. And so today we want to start in Ephesians 1:7, talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Why do we have to have redemption through His blood? Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You can't just go to God as an unbeliever in Christ and say, Lord, I sin, would you please forgive my sin? Without the blood being applied to you, my friends, it's not going to work. Once you have received Christ, then for any sin you might commit, you can simply go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I did sin. Please forgive my sin. And the blood of Christ will wash away all your sin. And so it really is the difference, is faith in Christ shed blood. Without that faith, you cannot be saved. You can't be saved by anything you might do, by any rules you might keep. You can try with all your heart to keep every one of God's rules, and you will never get saved because you can't keep them all the time. You might be successful for a week or a month or a year, but sooner or later you're going to sin. And the wages of sin is what? Death. That's talking eternal death. So we need a Savior. Now he goes on in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Folks, one of these days we're going to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Not now. You look at me and you say, well, there's a pretty good fellow. Well, this old fellow falls short of the glory of God all the time. I try to do what I can, but I can't be perfect yet either because I still have a sinful nature passed to me from my father, who got it from his father. It's just the way it is. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, you've got a problem. And that problem is inside of you, and you will not get rid of that until the day you get home to heaven. Then my sinful nature is going to be gone. But until then, I'm in a battle. And that battle won't stop, and we have to fight it every day. Our salvation was planned by the Father, purchased by the Son. We were, prior to receiving Christ as our Savior, slaves to Satan, slaves to sin. Satan was our father until we received Christ. That's why we need to be born again into God's family. I mentioned last week that a man could have a slave woman as one of his slaves, and if you have a child by her, that person, that boy or that little girl, was not the father's son or daughter. That was the father's slave. But that father, in Roman times, could adopt that slave child, and then he would become a full right son or daughter of the father. The same thing happens with us. We need to be born again out of Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. And you may say, how could that person possibly have Satan as his father? He's such a nice person, or that gal, such a nice gal. Well, Satan goes about as what? An angel of light. And some people that are following Satan seem just like everybody else, but they're not. So we need to be born again. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We came into this world born of sinful dads. Moms, too, are sinners because of their dads. But it's from the dad that the sin passes down. We come as slaves, but we need to get the full rights of sons and daughters of God. And that's what happens when God adopts us into his family. You know, it's interesting because God has two ways to get into his family, by birth and by adoption. If you were a perfect saint, if there were such a person as a perfect person, you could be born to God. Jesus Christ was such a person. Why was he such a person? Because he had no human father. Unfortunately, for all the rest of us, we have a human father, so we're not perfect. Our fathers were slaves. Slaves beget slaves. But the Father in heaven can adopt us into his family. And he talks about adopting us into his family. On the Day of Atonement, and I don't know how much you know about the Old Testament, but on the Day of Atonement, there were two goats that were brought to the priest. One was the sacrificial goat, and the priest would lay his hand on the head of that goat and slit its throat. The blood would go out of the goat into a basin. The priest would take that basin, go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he would put that blood on the mercy seat. And the sins of the people would be covered in Israel for another year. It never took away sin, but it covered their sin, awaiting the Messiah. The other goat, the scapegoat, the priest would put his hand on that goat's head, and that goat would be led away alive out into the wilderness, far, far away from any people, and let go, never to come back to the community. That's what God does with your sin and mine when we receive Christ as our Savior. The Lord Jesus' blood is put on the altar, but my sins and your sins are gone as far as the east is from the west, never to return. So the grace of God that does that is shown us in Ephesians 1:8. It says that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. You see, God's purpose is in a person. That person is not Jerry Larkin. That person is Jesus Christ. God's purpose is fulfilled in him and what he did for us. The grace of God is the greatest grace anybody can ever give. Greater love, Jesus said, hath no man than what? That a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and I. He laid down his life. In Ephesians 1:10, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. One of these days in the fullness of time. I know it's at least 1,007 years away, but I don't know how long before that 7 years and then the 1,000 years starts. When the Lord Jesus returns to the clouds and takes the church off this earth, 7 years of terrible tribulation is going to hit this earth, worse than anything we've ever seen, mankind. But then the Lord's going to come back from heaven and literally rule on this earth for 1,000 years. But when all that's done, one of these days, God's going to bring everything into complete unity in Christ. We have no unity on this earth right now. This world is at war, and this world's been at war. We have no unity in the United States of America today. Have you seen the protests that are going on all across our country? For a while, it was just Minnesota. But this weekend, New York City, San Francisco, you can just name the cities all across our country. People are up in arms. I mean, they're protesting like crazy. So there's no unity. But one of these days, God is going to bring everything to complete unity in Jesus Christ. We've got a couple of musical instruments here today, and you don't tune instruments the way they used to. It used to be when you had a piano, you had a tuning fork, and you would sound on the tuning fork, and you make sure the note that matched that matched on the piano. And if you had an old organ, you do the same thing. You take that same tuning fork and make sure it was in harmony. So when the organ sounded and the piano sounded, they were in unity. The note F was an F. E was an E on both the instruments. Jesus Christ is unlike me today. I'm trying to get in tune with him, but I'm not in perfect harmony. one of these days in the fullness of time, I'm going to be in absolute perfect harmony with my Lord. There's going to be no more arguing, no more fretting, no more fussing, no more protest. It's all going to be behind us. But in the meantime, we live in an out-of-tune world. We're out of tune a little bit. But the people that don't know Christ are really out of tune. But they don't know they're out of tune. They think you and I are out of tune. Do you know the only group of people that really understands history are born-again Christians? And you say, why is that? Because only we have the mysteries of God revealed to us. Only we know what we're supposed to be doing while we're here. Only we know, according to God's Spirit, revealed through His Word, what's going to happen next on this earth. What do we have to look forward to? Folks, we are greatly blessed by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk now about the Holy Spirit being the third part of this cord. We have God the Father that had the plan. We have Jesus Christ that carried out God the Father's plan. And now we have the Holy Spirit ministering to us as believers in Christ, revealing to us the secrets of God. One day, the riches of His grace, which we enjoy now, are going to be returned into the riches of His glory. And when that happens, things are going to be very, very different. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, "In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. In Him we were chosen, predestined." But we're not just predestined because God said, "I'm going to pick out Jerry Larkin here. I'm going to save him, but I'm not going to save this guy over here. I'm predestined in Christ. Once I'm in Christ, my destiny is decided. It's done. But up until that time, my destiny is not decided until I die. And then my destiny is decided. I never received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I kept thinking I could earn it. I kept thinking I could do enough good to outweigh my bad, and I'm going to get there." Folks, it's an impossibility. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that any of us have any hope at all. And so today we want to look at the fact that I and you that have received Christ, we're wealthy. I'm going to come into inheritance that's not going to last for a year or two or 5 years or 10. It's going to last for all eternity. God has a plan. The first cord was God the Father planned the salvation of whosoever will. You get to choose. Am I going to accept Christ or am I not? The second part of the golden cord is that God the Son purchased our salvation. In verse 14, the Lord calls us His purchased possession, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, the praise of His glory. We have freedom in that we have forgiveness. Every sin I do now, and I still sin, I try not to, but we're still human, aren't we? Still have a sinful nature. When I fall short, all I need do, 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sin, God is what? He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins. Why is it just for Him to forgive my sins, but somebody without Christ doesn't get forgiven? Because He's just, because He's already told us. There's only one way to get your sins forgiven, and that's through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you place your faith in that, God will forgive your sins, all your sins. If you don't put your faith in that, there's no hope. And so it's extremely important we do that. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "In order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, That happens the very second that you believe in Jesus Christ. Once you confess, I can't do it myself. I am not going to get eternal life no matter what I do. I need the blood of a perfect sacrifice. And that's what Jesus Christ was. The reason he never sinned is because he never had a human father. If he had been born of Joseph, his stepfather, he would have sinned. You and I sin not because we're wicked, evil people. We sin because we've got a human father who was a sinner, who passed his sin nature to all of us. So the word earnest, that down payment that Jesus Christ paid, it's like you're going to go out and you're going to buy a house. And in order to buy a house in our economy, at least, you have to put down a down payment. In other words, if the house is valued at $300,000, if you were to go buy a $300,000 house, what would be a normal down payment? $60,000, 20%. That's normal. When you put that $20,000 down on that $300,000 house, if you don't make your payments, what happens? You lose the house. And you lose your $20,000 down payment. The Holy Spirit is God's down payment. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts the second we receive Christ. He's the down payment. Who's the one that guarantees the redemption? God the Father. He gave a down payment. He put the Holy Spirit within us. Will God the Father fail to produce the whole price to pay for the house? He won't, because it's already been done. Jesus Christ made the total payment. There's nothing else I have to do. I don't have to join a church to go to heaven. You should, but you don't have to. I don't have to give one penny to anybody to go to heaven. You should give money to God's causes, but you don't have to. I don't have to witness to anybody in order to be saved, but we should. The whole idea here is, if you're a child of God, you are paid for through the blood of Christ. The down payment's been done, the Holy Spirit's been given, and God has promised to redeem all of his chosen possession. You are going to be paid in full. When we get to heaven, there won't be any charges. I know some churches preach about purgatory, that you go to purgatory and you burn off what's left of your sins. Folks, that's simply not according to the scriptures at all. We don't go to purgatory, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. That's what happens. So the Bible times, the Holy Spirit is called the seal. And when we think about a seal today, if we had the little kids up here today, if we had them up there and we talked about a seal, what would they be thinking about? The zoo. I'm going to go see a seal. Oh, well, this will be fun. If you talk to somebody a little bit older, what would it mean if you talked about a seal? It could mean ownership has been transferred. And that's exactly what the seal of the Holy Spirit does. You were owned by Satan. You were going to wind up where Satan winds up. When the seal is given, you're purchased from Satan, and now you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a transfer of ownership. One of the major problems we see in churches is that many people don't realize, I was sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm not supposed to act that way anymore. I'm under new ownership. If you went up to the gas station on the corner and somebody else bought it, if they did, now hopefully it won't happen soon because we all love Gabe, but if you did and it was new ownership, would you expect to see Gabe in there running the show anymore? It doesn't work that way, my friends. New ownership means somebody else is in charge and they now call the shot. We've been sealed with that ownership. A document is secured. When you think of a seal as a lawyer, what do you think of? You think of going down to the township office or the Saginaw County Courthouse, and you've made your final payment on your house, and they stamp on that paid in full. That seal is a guarantee that nobody now can come and take your house away because you didn't make a payment, because you don't owe anything anymore. It's been paid in full. And that's what Christ does for us. I want you to think just for a minute. We're going to go back to the book of Esther for just a second and talk about a seal. Because the seal is the guarantee. In Esther chapter 8, verse 7, it says, King Xerxes replied to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, because Haman attacked the Jews, I've given his estate to Esther. In other words, the ownership has transferred. And they have impaled him on a pole he set up. Now write another decree in the king's name in behalf of the Jews as seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For no document written in the king's name and sealed with his ring can be revoked. In other words, once the seal was given with the ring of the king, they would dip that ring into wax. They would stamp it on that receipt that the ownership has been transferred. Nobody can change it. That's the same way with God's kingdom. Once God makes a law, nobody can change it. Once God makes a decree, nobody can change it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That can never be changed. The first day you call upon the Lord with all your heart, all your sins are forgiven. You are God's son, not Satan's son anymore. You're on your way to heaven, and it can never change. No matter what life brings, you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39, and you'll see very clearly, death or life. Whose death or life? Mine. Yours. It cannot change it. In Ephesians 1:14, it says, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing the inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. That deposit has been paid. But you must receive it by faith in order for it to be paid for you. Not everybody is a son or daughter of God automatically. There has to come a time in your life when you admit to God that you have indeed fallen short of his glory, and that you personally ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior. The Holy Spirit will come in, he'll seal the deal, and you will be God's son or daughter for all of eternity. When the new heavens and earth are created, you're going to be there. Jesus said he was going to the Father's house, and he said, if I go to the Father's house, I'll doubtless return again and receive you unto myself. This isn't all there is to life. This life, as God reveals in his word, is going to last for all eternity. You are either going to go to heaven through faith in Christ, not because of your own works, because of his work, or you're going to wind up in the lake of fire because of your work, rejecting Jesus Christ. So, all three have a part, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All three are part of the seal that cannot be broken. No man or Satan or anybody else can take it away from you. And once you're in, you can't even take it away yourself. You can do all you want to do. You won't lose it if it's real. But again, I want to warn you, if your life doesn't change, you better examine your salvation, because your life should change. Father, we're grateful for the sealing of the Holy Spirit. We're grateful for the sealing of the Son, and we're grateful for the sealing of God our Father. Lord, help us to live lives worthy of your high calling, that we truly might be your sons and daughters, not living a perfect life, but living a holy life for your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.